I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm so thrilled to have my next guest here. We have Alexa Van Tobelk, who is the founder of a company that you may be familiar with, Learn Best, but she is also the founder of an incredible new venture called Inspired Capital, which we're going to get into. As I mentioned, she is the founder of LearnVest, which was acquired by Northwestern Mutual in 2015. It is, I believe, to date, one of the biggest fintech acquisitions of the decade. And she went on then to found Inspired Capital out of New York, and it's an early stage VC firm, which she is the managing partner of. And she's also a New York Times bestselling author of the books Financially Fearless and Financially Forward. Such an incredible human being as well, and fellow female entrepreneur that I am so thrilled to have on our podcast today. So without further ado, welcome, Alexa.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Thrilled to be here.
Super excited to have you here. So let's start a little bit at the beginning. I listened to another interview where you said you were a nonconformist. I loved that. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about Alexa growing up. Like, what did you think you were going to be doing? Did you think you were going to be an entrepreneur? Did you think you were going to be a VC?
Well, so a few things. I was born in Kentucky. I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. And I think from an early age, I have always had a ton of energy. I've always been a builder. I've always been interested in building things. I was one of these kids who just always was up to something. And it really took until I got into college when I really realized, like, I'm an entrepreneur. That's what I am. I'm an entrepreneur. I'd started organizations. I'd started a tutoring organization. And I remember building businesses felt sort of natural for me even before I knew how to define what I was doing. So at a young age, the sort of things that, like, I actually said out loud I wanted to do, for example, in first grade, I told my librarian that I wanted to be the first female president of the country, which was an interesting thing that I deeply remember saying. And, you know, later, I was really interested in medicine. My whole family is in medicine. Everybody in my family, minus me, is a doctor or a nurse. And I was really interested in taking care of people. My name, Alexa, literally means helper of mankind. It's why Amazon picked it for the Alexa. And I think just the sort of value orientation my parents gave me young was to take my God-given talents and make the world better and help other people. And so I kind of knew I wanted to do something to help people. And then when I realized I could actually do that with entrepreneurship, just like my lights went on in my head, if that makes sense. So I think I always knew I was entrepreneurial. I just didn't know how to actually describe it. And then, I said a lot of harebrained things as a child.
So funny. Was there an entrepreneur that kind of inspired you early on to say, like, wow, that sounds so cool, I'm going to go and do that?
I mean, I just remember at an early age, you know, other people were interested in, like, pop stars and athletes. And I always was really interested in business leaders, like, who is the CEO of Hershey? And it was like an interesting way my brain worked where that's who I was fascinated by, is people who are building big organizations. And that's who I was fascinated by. So, there wasn't one entrepreneur that stood out. I will say I come from a very entrepreneurial family. My dad was an entrepreneur. His dad ran a lumberyard called the Von Tobel Lumberyard, which is like a Home Depot of Indiana. I have other people that have been very entrepreneurial in my family. My brother's an entrepreneur. So I don't know if there's something deep in that, but obviously the modeling, I'd actually probably say that the entrepreneur that influenced me most was my dad, who was an entrepreneur. And I went to work with him every summer and saw him running his own business. And it just felt very comfortable to me to do this.
Well, you have an amazing journey. And obviously, you founded a company called LearnVest. Do you want to just describe LearnVest, like what it was? Like, how did you decide that this was something that needed to be launched in the market?
Sure. So it was really simple. LearnVest was think TurboTax for financial planning. So in under 60 seconds, it could build a financial plan for any American family in of all income levels. So very importantly, it wasn't designed for the wealthy. LearnVest had a huge mission, which was that financial planning should not be a luxury product. It should be something that's accessible to everybody. So that's what we built, TurboTax for financial planning, got acquired by North Rush Mutual. And my story of why I built it was really simple. I was Harvard undergrad, always had been very good at math, loved math growing up, really loved math, like nerdily, very passionate, and realized pretty quickly that I couldn't believe I was graduating from undergrad with zero education in personal finance. And there I was, got a big job going to Wall Street. And I remember thinking, here I am, like, responsible and capable of helping make decisions with millions of dollars. Yet I couldn't tell you what credit card I should have, what I could afford in rent practically. I didn't know how to think about what my means were. All these really critical decisions, pretty important choices. And literally had no idea how to get educated on them outside of Googling them. And I just said, this is absurd. And so I was that passionate about going and building LearnVest. And I'd also lost my dad when I was younger. And my mom overnight became a single mom with three kids. And I remember her having to think about our finances. And I just remember being like, I'm always going to be good at my finances because I never want to have a moment where I don't fully have a command of how to be empowered in my own existence. And so that's sort of why I decided to start LearnVest. And then I wrote two books on the category as well, that New York Times bestselling.
So was that your first, like, job? I mean, did you have a job prior to actually starting the company?
So I'd spent time at Insight Venture Partners, in venture, again, back to, like, that early thirst for loving to look at startups and companies. And then I spent time at Morgan Stanley, and then I helped build a company that got acquired by Facebook, and then I went back to Harvard Business School. So I had some other jobs, but I started LearnVest nights and weekends when I was 23. And then finally, I actually was one of these kids who I had a job. I literally worked in my dad's office, his medical practice, literally 12, 13 every summer. So I was one of these kids that, like, my parents took me to work and I had a job and I had chores. And so I really worked my whole life.
Interesting. So looking back on those early days at LearnVest, did you have any idea what you were doing? I mean, were there a lot of, you had this great idea. And I always tell people that ideas obviously are so important. You want to find a solution. You think you have a solution and you're going to start a company, but there's so many little things that come up along the way that you're just like, whoa, like I never thought I had to deal with employee benefits, you know, like things along the way that are really, really critical in building a company. But did you feel like, you know, you ever had these walls up that you didn't know how you were going to ultimately be able to scale what you were doing? I mean, were there challenges along the way that you just thought, oh my gosh, I just have to somehow get through this?
I mean, I would say that everything felt hard, and it's why I just have so much empathy for every entrepreneur. So I'll start by saying, I was completely green. I was brand new. I was trying to figure out. I'd never been a CEO. There I was, sort of first-time founder at age 23. The business model was, we were sort of, I mean, the fintech wasn't a category, Kara. Literally,
yeah.
When we went to go start building it, the word fintech had not been used. And so I was navigating a regulated environment. We had become a registered investment advisor. So regulatory compliance from the get-go. And then figuring out our business model, which is, we had a really clear mission, which is let's give everybody in America who wants it, even if their income is $50,000, access to a world-class financial plan that you get when you are worth millions of dollars. that was the premise was simple, which is let's bring that quality down to everybody. And how we would make that profitable was probably a question. That was one of those things where we were like, how do we make this work? And quickly we started realizing we can charge for financial planning and we can bake in margin. And we ended up figuring it out. But I always tell people, one of the best things about LearnVest in the rear view mirror was that it was actually an incredibly complicated and hard business. So I look for businesses that are a lot easier than LearnVest. LearnVest turned out it had a very successful exit. It actually is now the core financial software for all of Northwestern Mutual, which is an incredible thing. And I'm so proud of how they're using the platform for millions and millions of families. But I ran a really hard business. So
yeah.
I always joke, there wasn't ever a day where I was like, God, this is easy.
Yeah.
Never, not once. And so I always joke, I earned every wrinkle I have because I just, there were very few things that were not complicated.
Yeah. But on the other hand, if it was so easy, there probably would have been a lot of other people who were doing it or who had done it before you decided to start this too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I know that you were definitely, I know how hard that business was. I mean, hence the company that I founded too, also incredibly hard. The front end looks like it's really easy. It's like water and fruit, but there's a lot in the process of actually making it that is very, very technologically, you know, a little bit more difficult. So I totally understand that. So how did you get the word out about it? Here you're launching a product. What was kind of the first thing that you did to actually get the word out about LearnVest?
Well, so times were really different, Kara. This was December 18th of 2008 is when I officially went full-time for LearnVest. And, you know, when we started the business, content, email newsletters were a new thing. There was a company called Daily Candy at the time that had, millions of followers and remember social media didn't exist. There's like all these, all these other things that didn't exist yet. Facebook was relatively new. And so we started with content. We started with building a following and an email newsletter that by the end had millions of people on it, where we could help people every day learn a little bit more about their money. And built a brand really organically with content. We actually focused the brand early on women because I was writing the content and I became a certified financial planner and passed all the tests. And I said, if I'm going to do this, I got to do it all the way. And from there, we started very quickly launching our products off this email newsletter. And then the newsletter became the way that we stayed in touch with people. And from there, then became a subscription service on our website and then we had a mobile app, et cetera. But it all started from building a voice and a brand and a trusted place for people to manage their wallets.
So interesting. Do you think that your business would be built if you were launching that business today? Do you think it'd be built the same way?
No, I mean, I think if it were built today, a few things would change. First, fintech is much easier to build. There's so many more infrastructure layers. There's so many things you can sit on. There's so many things you can integrate with, APIs you can use, where we had to build so much ourselves. We had such heavy lifting. WordPress exists. You can sit on top of all these content players. So it'd be a lot cheaper to build, a lot easier. The compliance and regulatory piece is so much clearer now. We were one of the first sort of early digital regulated entities, RIAs. And I'll give you an example. In compliance, like my book had to go through compliance. We were like, God, there's got to be an easier way. Like, how's the book have to go through our entire compliance arm? And the book was just the basics of money. So it just gives you a sense of so many things have gotten easier, which is now I run with my co-founders and partners, Inspire Capital. And we're an early stage venture fund focused on generalist categories here in New York, but with fintech being a big category, I love backing companies in the fintech space today because just so many things are so much easier.
Yeah, much, much more simple. So although simple, but I would think that there's still regulations around it that are more challenging than other categories for sure.
Yes, it's still more challenging because it's regulated, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So you are obviously a founder. You have your company Inspired Capital, where you're seeing a ton of ideas. When do you know if an idea should actually become a startup? And I'm sure you get lots of pitches. I've gotten lots of pitches myself where you think that it's not ready, right, in some way. But what is it that makes you kind of think this is a great idea, but maybe it's not ready to actually become a company or whatever? What is that gleam that you see that you make those decisions based on?
Sure. We ask ourselves this all of the time, which is this idea a concept, a feature, or business? A long, scaling, durable business. And at Inspired, we like to back long, scaling, durable businesses. And I think one of the things that you can get confused by is, wow, this is a really great idea. This is a really interesting feature. That's very different than this is a really great idea. This is a really unique and advantaged business that will create economic value.
Uh-huh.
And that has a business model that long-term accrues value to. And so I'll give you an example. We like to back businesses that as they get bigger, they get better. Their advantage strengthens. That may be because they have a technical moat. That may be because they have an unfair data advantage. So, you think about AI, OpenAI today, there are certain, you build an early ChatGPT, you get it out in the world, more people use it, the machine gets smarter, the machine gets better, and over time, your data advantage gets better. Those are the sort of things that we like to think about, and we really like to think about long-term moats. And then finally, we are at our core finance experts, right? That's one of the things we are extremely good at. And so we also like to think about business models and unit economics, and is this a company that over time the business model gets better? So those are things that should be businesses, big, long-term, iconic businesses tend to have traits like that. Not all the time, by the way. That's there's always exceptions, but that gives you a strong sense of things that we look for.
Yeah, definitely. So you've hired a lot of people and built teams and scaled companies and sold them. And probably had to let some people go along the way, which is always really tough to let people go, I think. It's probably especially the first person that you've got to actually say you're fired or, this isn't working out. Any suggestions, sort of knowing what you know about going through that process of not only recruiting, but also, figuring out that that's not going to help you to scale your company any further to keep that person on?
It was always really hard for me. In fact, I was with somebody that was on my management team for a decade talking about this recently, and it was always really hard for me. It got easier, but it never got better. I had the words, I had the skill sets, I had the tools, I knew what to say, but I never actually felt better about it because every time I was always so grateful anytime anyone joined our journey or our platform or our mission. And I was so grateful for the trust that they were ultimately putting in me being the leader. And anytime that didn't work out, those were the days where I didn't get good sleep. So it is a skill set though that every entrepreneur has to get good at.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what I've learned along the way too is that there's different stages of a company too, and sadly different skill sets in people that are needed along the way that I think people don't really talk about when, they're starting to build a company or hire people that, those people may not be there till the end because there's different things that really are needed for the company. So that was one thing that I really noticed along the way. So you're a builder, like I've said a few times, and a scaler, and you've launched a company from an idea to an acquisition, which is incredible. But building a team and continuing to have market fit, solve problems for consumers, raise money, build boards, continue to have market fit, continue to build on the team. What are kind of the big landmines that you think are out there for entrepreneurs when they're building? I mean, where do you see things head south for so many that, whether they're friends or whether they're people that you've read about or people that you've invested in along the way?
A few things. So first, I think the best founders have thought so deeply about their business that they are layer 6, 7, 8 deep in topics and really thinking about what they do. And I always gravitate toward founders who have put that level of thought into what they're trying to do, because once you turn the lights on and you start running, it's really unfun when you don't know what your product market fit is and you don't know where you're going or who your customer is. And so one, I like founders that tend to do a lot of that work up front. Incredible amounts of customer discovery, incredible amounts of market mapping, understanding their advantage and why it's a real advantage, et cetera. So that's part one. Things tend to go south when, I think some of the best founders truly take feedback in a pretty beautiful and powerful way and are constantly looking for people to give them tough feedback so they can keep iterating towards the right place. And I think sensitive founders who are very defensive, that's not helpful to being on that path. And so effectively, really great founders tend to have strong opinions, but are constantly pulling in data and information about how to get better. This environment, I think one of the things that we've seen from founders is you need to be extremely agile. This is a dynamic environment. The market went from basically zero interest rate to significantly increasing interest rates in a short period of time, which is the equivalent from completely changing the floor of the environment you're in to black and white overnight. And I think the best founders always keep one eye on the market and understanding what's happening around them so that they can have a good sense of burn, what milestones are necessary. So places we often see people stumble is when they're not forward thinking enough. They haven't done the legwork on where they really want to go 3 years out, 5 years out. People who don't take enough feedback along the way to keep getting better. And then finally, we're in a dynamic environment. So very, very, very agile, strategically flexible entrepreneurs. That doesn't mean you're changing the plan every 3 months. It just means you're constantly taking that micro feedback from what's happening in the business into the budget and the KPIs and what you're trying to achieve.
Definitely. I've talked to a bunch of founders over the last few months, and obviously you just touched on this, but it's challenging, right? It's challenging to go out and raise, especially seed funds, where maybe your company doesn't have a whole lot of traction quite yet. Any advice for people going out now looking to launch their idea?
First of all, the internet is incredible. You can find out so much about everyone you're going to talk to and pitch to and companies they've invested in. Do your homework. I think it always comes off as extremely thoughtful when entrepreneurs know the partnership and what companies you've invested in, et cetera. So that's part one. Part two, figure out a way to get connected into those people the best way that you possibly can. And, I'm from, as I said, I'm literally from Jacksonville, Florida, navigating New York City and California venture funds when I was 23, I knew nobody, but constantly figuring out who can make an intro, who can help you out, and like trying to do your best job, and LinkedIn exists, so use it. I think founders who come in humble and thoughtful are wonderful. And, I think there was a big moment of hype, Kara, in the last few years where it was like, I've got term sheets and I'm moving and things are happening. I think just hype doesn't work. Your best investors are just absolutely interested in substance, real businesses, founders who it's their life's work and want to come build for 10, 15 years, just like, Hinn's been your life's work, Kara. And I think entrepreneurs and, keep your feet on the ground. One motto I have is that there's just no shortcuts in life. When it comes to building an epically unique business, every day matters and every day is a day of hard work. And I look for founders kind of really do up their feet on the ground in that capacity.
Absolutely. Well, one last question. So best advice you've ever received?
Kara, I've received so much good advice. I'm trying to think about one, but I think, so much of my success has been the success of just so many people, dozens of people who've helped me, from my family, my brothers, my mom, my mentors, and everybody has given me advice. It's made my life better. I'll give you two just quick things that I love, which has been the world zigzag. When the world runs one place, run the other. Don't follow the pack. And a second piece of advice, and this is probably the advice I wish I gave my younger self. I finally started adopting this in my 20s. But you got to live your life for yourself, and you can't care about what everybody else thinks. And the sooner you can get good at that, the better you're going to be. Because the only voice that should be in your head are people that you love, the people that love you back. And the more you cannot care about what other people think, the better your life's going to be. And I think that if you're going to do something bold and big, a lot of people are going to not agree with you, and you have to be okay with that. And so I actually think being contrarian and standing up on my own two feet and ignoring the noise around me has become one of my best skill sets. I wish I had it when I was 17 and 16. It would have gone and served me better. So that's my one piece of advice.
Yeah, the longer your journey, I think definitely you look back and you think, gosh, I wish I would have had this confidence, this knowledge, for sure, and definitely knew what you knew today back then. So I love that. So Alexa, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have all of the info on you and also Inspired Capital in the show notes, but I appreciate you and appreciate you sharing all of your lessons and journey along the way. And thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks so much, Kara. You're amazing. I appreciate it.
Thanks again for listening to the Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my book, Undaunted, which I share my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And thanks everyone for listening. Have a great rest of the week, and goodbye for now. Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.